CO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in Washington and the growing outcry over the president's massive construction project that calls for complete destruction of the White House, a section of the White House to make way for a 90,000 square foot ballroom.
President Trump confirms the east wing of the White House is being torn down.
In order to do it properly, we had to take down the existing structure.
The president also threw out a new number on the cost.
It's about $300 million.
The original number was around $230 million, but Trump says the American people aren't paying for any of it.
It's being paid for 100% by me and some friends of mine, donors.
Rejecting allegations that he has been anything but transparent about the size and scope of the project, including the details about the demolition. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
The president's war on alleged drug boats is expanding beyond the Caribbean. Defense Secretary Hegseth has posted video online showing what he says is a ninth vessel being blown up in a U.S. attack off Colombia. At least five were killed. Correspondent Charlie Daggett.
It's the first known military operation in the Pacific. The boat taken out off the coast of Colombia, which produces 90% of the cocaine that eventually is sold in the United States.
President Trump hopes economic pressure will pave the way for a ceasefire in Ukraine. He's announced new sanctions against Russia's two largest oil companies.
These are tremendous sanctions. These are very big. Those are against their two big oil companies, and we hope that they won't be on for long. We hope that the war will be settled.
A Ukrainian official calls it great news. Mr. Trump, top of mind at the final debate in the New York City mayoral race. Democratic frontrunner Zohran Mamdani.
He wants Andrew Cuomo to be the mayor, not because it will be good for New Yorkers, but because it will be good for him.
Former Governor Cuomo, who's running as an independent, sees it this way.
Donald Trump, I believe, wants Mamdani. That is his dream, because he will use him politically all across the country, and he will take over New York City. Make no mistake.
Republican Curtis Sliwa, under heavy pressure to drop out, took aim at the 34-year-old Mamdani for lack of experience. Early voting in New York begins Saturday. The NFL commissioner is confident this season's Super Bowl halftime show will be great. Roger Goodell says the league has no intention of replacing Puerto Rican rap star Bad Bunny, despite criticism from conservatives, including the president, who says it was a ridiculous choice. Dow futures are down 47. S&P futures up 8. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the River District to the Capitol in Madison, WXCO is where Wisconsin turns for real news and great conversation. WXCO.fm.
Will Watson return? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. Packers wide receiver Christian Watson has been rehabbing after suffering a torn ACL at the end of last season. Will this be the week Watson returns?
My goal and my plan is to play this week. I'd say I could have played last week too, to be honest, but you know, obviously just got to make sure, you know, I'm hearing, you know, everybody's opinions on everything and just being as smart as possible about it.
The Packers play the Steelers in Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Football. NBA, the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo scored 37 points, the most in his career on an opening night, in a 133-120 victory over the Washington Wizards, but guard Kevin Porter Jr. undergoing an MRI for a severely sprained left ankle. How is he doing early in the game?
Just his defensive pressure, couple steals, deflections, and then just his half-court defense, him and our whole group, led to us a ton of runouts. It might have been the most advanced passes we've had.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Over the air and on the web, WXCO is your home for real news and great conversation for Wausau. Learn more at WXCO.fm.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with highs in the mid to upper 40s here this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy and frosty. We are going to drop into the mid to upper 20s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs in the low to mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by UW-Madison professor of military history, John Hall. We dig into what is going on in the current moment and its historical echoes of our past.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't act like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different. And I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful. That taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Full Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who believes a penny saved isn't jack sh**, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for Act Two. Great to have you with me on this cold, blustery day here in the state of Wisconsin. Wherever you are in our beautiful state, I hope you're having a great night. And hope you can let us help you make it even a little more, even greater than it is if we can. We'll give you some laughs, some great guests here. We've got... Craig Benzine is with me right now. He is the director of No Packers, No Life. I will be back with Craig in just a moment. Coming up at 7:35, Phil Johnston, another Wisconsin-based director. He is the director of the movie The Twits, which is currently in theaters, I believe, and available on Netflix. Phil also wrote Wreck-It Ralph and Zootopia and Cedar Rapids. So anxious to talk to Phil about some of his experience as well and his experience on The Twits. I haven't seen it. Conrad, have you seen it?
I haven't, but I saw a trailer for it, and it looks interesting.
I can't. This is terrible because I got two really talented guys on tonight. And I haven't seen either movie. I'm limited though. I live in the sticks. The Twits is not there. I would have gone and saw it last weekend, but wasn't playing there. And neither is No Packers, No Life. But Phil Johnston will be here. That's the next best thing, folks. He's going to join me at 7:35. My question of the night is: it is National Tavern, is it Tavern Pizza Day, Conrad?
Correct.
Yeah, National Tavern Style Pizza Day. So our question is, what is your favorite kind of za? I say thin crust, sausage, onion, fresh garlic, maybe some jalapenos, depending on my mood, and light sauce. Conrad went with the meat lovers.
Thin crust, sausage, pepperoni, mushroom, with pepper and pepper flakes in the sauce.
It's a lot of pizza. That's like, and of course, Ollie from the North had, duck meat on there and bacon and everything.
I think it's called a kitchen sink pizza.
Kitchen sink pizza. I love that. Kitchen sink pizza. That's great. We are going to talk about J-Lo. I'm going to unload on J-Lo. Oh, I'm winding up, Conrad. I'm going to go after her like I did Ryan Reynolds. I'm kidding. But it is kind of funny. She said some really weird stuff. That's it. Let's get back to our guest, Craig Benzine. Craig Benzine, who is stuck around. He is on the stream from Madison, not Chicago, as I initially thought. Wherever you are, Craig, it's good to have you on the show, though, buddy.
Thank you. I kind of want to talk more about Ryan Reynolds, but we don't have to do that.
Do you have an opinion?
I kind of like the guy. Well, have you seen Welcome to Wrexham?
No.
That's him and John McElhenney buying a soccer team.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And it's really good. It's really good. He might change your opinion a little bit.
Listen, my opinion on him is not acting related. He's a fine talent. but there are guys I just don't know that I need to see their work anymore because it tends to be the same. And with him, sure, it's not that. Sure. Mark Wahlberg would be an example of that. But Ryan Reynolds is sort of like, are you hawking products? Or are you, you know, I like yeah. artists. I like people who, and I'm not saying you can't have a side hustle, but enough with the mint, enough with the vodka or whatever you're like, just pick a lane. You know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
He's a talented actor. But.
I totally get it. Totally get it. I also have to go off topic again.
Yeah.
Phil Johnson, Johnston.
Yeah.
I've seen Cedar Rapids, his movie Cedar Rapids. I saw it at the Sundance Film Festival.
Oh, sweet.
So I saw, we were both in the same room at one time before, and now we're on the same radio show. Look at that. It's
serendipity, yeah. baby. I saw Cedar Rapids in a hotel room. So I was watching a movie about guys in a hotel room. They were like nice. In a holodome or something like
that. Yeah.
And so,
and also, it's a great movie. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. Yeah, he's a very talented guy. So it'll be good to talk to him. I've never had him on the show before, and I don't know him personally, but I'm definitely a fan. So we covered No Packers, No Life, Craig. We covered the Driftless Pony Club, your band with a great name, and at least one great song. I'm sure I'd love to hear more. I'll probably check that out. But
we have a lot of songs. We have like 5 albums.
That's so cool. Do you need a rhythm guitar player who's really not that good?
We already have 2 guitar players who are not that good. So I don't know that we need a third.
You know what?
Sorry.
Listen, you don't have to shoot me down so quickly, Craig. I'm just asking you to noodle it, put it in the Rolodex.
It's just practical. It's just practical. Right. We already have 2.
I get it. All right. Hey, so let's talk about Wheezy Waiter. Last time you were here, I'm fascinated that you're a guy that posts videos and you do cool stuff. We talked about fasting last time you were here. What's new on your YouTube channel that you're kind of doing and putting the word out about?
Not a lot new. I'm working on new stuff right now. Because I've been a little busy with the movie. I have several videos coming up. I have several videos I have to get done coming up before the end of the year. Not 100% sure what they're all going to be. One, the next video, I think, which is going to come out pretty soon, is going to be, it's going to be more of just a talky video where I'm kind of talking about stuff and being silly. But the idea is, as I get older, I realize a question comes up in my mind all the time is this real or is this just me being an old man yelling at a cloud? You know,
right.
like me being like disliking a lot, how much content there is out there and how much my daughter watches YouTube. Am I just afraid of new technology or is this going to damage her in any way? Or is it just fine? Because I think back to how many video games I played as a kid and how much TV I watched. Was that good for me? I don't know. You know,
that's interesting because I think I'm probably a little older than you and I don't remember. I played some video games, but we were outside all the time. And I'm not one of those guys that says, get outside. When I was a kid, frankly, when I was a kid, you had all the stuff we have now. That's what I would have been doing. We're not special. It was just what was available to us at the time. Having said that, I'm as addicted to my phone at my age now that as my kids are, maybe more because I'm so fascinated by it, you know? So
yeah,
that's a great thing to explore.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Am I just afraid? It's hard to tell if any of my opinions are just me being an old man or not. That's basically the worry.
It's a good,
Also, I need to mention something since we've been talking about the band. I need to mention that I'm in another band also.
Of course you are.
I'm in another band called Violet Palms.
Oh, I like that name too.
Yeah, so and if they heard this radio program and I didn't mention it, they'd probably be mad at me. So,
Violent Palms?
Violet Palms.
Oh, not Violent Palms. That's a different thing. Yeah. That could be dangerous. Okay, Violet. Yeah. That's a much nicer name. Where can we hear that music, Craig?
Violetpalms.com. Also, two albums out there on everything. No, violetpalmsband.com. Sorry.
Okay.
Violetpalmsband.com.
Violet Palms Band. Okay.
I play guitar in that. I'm not the singer of that band, but that one's a little more active these days, actually.
Okay. That's fantastic. So in terms of your YouTube channel, if I could jump back last time, I really enjoyed our talk and what you were willing to do with giving up sugar and that. I'm kind of in the middle of that myself right now. What eating things are you up to? Like, what have you found works for you lately or what are you sort of pursuing?
Coming off of 5 days of touring the movie around, I have not been very healthy. But I would say we're trying to do a little more home cooking these days, as opposed to going out to restaurants, getting more vegetables in our life. And nothing real flashy though, like quitting added sugar. I'm trying to think of something. I'm going a few days without coffee because I've been pretty addicted to that, and that's kind of tough.
Yeah,
it's kind of tough to go without coffee. I feel pretty tired, but I also had the best night of sleep last night in a long time. So
is that amazing?
Yeah,
that's great. I love. There's nothing like a good night of sleep. Do you? Are you a Halloween guy? Do you like scary movies?
I'm not really super into horror, but yeah, I love the movie Scream. I love several of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
Nice.
And Halloween is my favorite holiday. Just, I think the whole like just dressing up in a costume aspect of it. I think my best costume I've ever had in college, I was Colonel Sanders, and I put a lot of time into it, and everywhere I went, everyone was like, "Hey, it's the Colonel," and I felt like a celebrity. It was great. Yeah,
it's a shame you were married. from the 608, Anna from Madison says, "Please tell Craig I saw the movie and loved it. I did tear up a couple times."
Ah, great.
So wow.
I assume good tears because there's nothing sad in the movie. So
nobody dies. Nobody falls off the top floor of Lambeau.
No. Okay.
All right, that's good. Thank you for the text, Anna.
Yeah, thank you.
So, all right, before we let you go, Craig, are you watching anything? You binge watching anything you could recommend or seen any good movies?
Well, I loved One Battle After Another.
Same.
I think it depends on, it might depend on where you lie politically, but I loved that movie. I'm watching Slow Horses on Apple TV. That's really good. The Peacemaker. Also,
Is that the Cena?
Cena show. Yeah.
You watch that?
That
Recon?
Is surprisingly good. Have you watched that?
Oh, I thought Conrad. You don't watch Peacemaker?
No.
Oh, you have such a man crush on John Cena. I thought maybe.
No, that's Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Oh, that's Dwayne.
Oh,
I mixed
okay.
up Conrad's man crushes.
Has
I'm
he
sorry.
Has he seen the Jumanji movies?
Oh that, yeah.
he got very.
They're
excited.
Good. They're really good.
I loved them.
Yeah, they're making another one.
I'm with you on Slow Horses, really enjoying it. I'm caught up. I think a new one drops tonight, right? Or is it Thursday?
Yeah, I'm going to watch it after this.
Same here. So great show. And I will say this about One Battle After Another, because Rob Thomas was on, I think, last week, and he said the same thing you did about politics. And yes, it's an anti-establishment type movie, but I feel like that should transcend politics. I know there are jabs they take at the right. They also kind of make fun of the left too, though. They make fun of the woke stuff and the hippies and like. So
I agree. I don't think it's inherently has to be a political movie.
Correct.
But the comments I see, it seems like there are a lot of people who take it that way. So
there's a lot of sensitive people out there, Craig.
Yeah, it's true.
Hey, buddy, this is fun, always. Don't be a stranger, and when you get your third band and 4 new albums out in the next month, let me know, and let's talk about them.
I will. You'll be the first I call.
I appreciate that. Thank you, sir. Have great night.
Thank you.
That's Craig Benzie. Check out No Packers, No Life, currently playing in Marcus Theaters. When it goes to streaming, we'll have some information on that. I still haven't seen it. So I have to see that, and I have to see the twits. But Craig is and check out his music, Driftless Pony Club or Violet Palms. Not Violent Palms, Conrad. That's a different thing. That's like UFC stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. You ever done any UFC or cage fighting?
I've played the video game.
Oh, okay. Is that kind of the same?
It doesn't involve injuries for myself, so.
Just sore thumbs when you're done, maybe? let's see. Let's get some text going here. Where are we at with text, Conrad?
We got to read a couple.
Okay. So here's Tony the Trucker says, Pete, another Chicago thin and crispy pie is Vito and Nick's. My local shop makes a Mediterranean pizza. Oh, I love Mediterranean pizza. A Mediterranean pizza that is whole grain crust topped with a Greek herb, pesto, black and green olives, diced tomatoes, Parmesan and feta. It's addictive. That text is addictive. Thank you, Tony. That's great stuff. I almost read herb instead of herb, because when I read stuff like I did last night when Pardo was here, I called it Ridya. So there you go. So there's, do we read Lori's text? We'll lead off with Lori's text. That's coming up next. We're going to read some more texts. We'll talk more J-Lo. And then Phil Johnson is here at 735, director of the Twits. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Ever, so let's do it now or never, baby. Nothing's ever, ever too far. Glitter in the sky, glitter in our eyes, shining just the way we are. I feel like we're forever every time we get together, but whatever, let's go. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
If you've ever found yourself driving down a quiet back road and thought, this feels special, you might be on one of our estate's rustic roads.
The program was created by the legislature back in 1973. It's really a unique local-state partnership.
Officials wanted people by car, bike, motorcycle, or even on foot to enjoy the natural beauty. The first rustic road designated in Taylor County 50 years ago this month.
There's 124 roads that have been designated rustic roads in Wisconsin in 62 different counties, and it spans over 784 miles.
Each rustic road is unique, rolling past farmland through forests or covering rugged terrain. And the speed limit tops out at 45 miles an hour, sometimes even slower. It's not about getting anywhere fast. This slice of Wisconsin reveals sometimes the best part of the journey is the road itself. I'm Terry Baugh.
Timeout.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. We are broadcasting statewide, pretty much statewide, from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Great to have you with me on this night where we talk about and celebrate what I like to call the pizza. It is National Tavern Style Pizza Day, which got me thinking, how do people like their pizza? That's our question of the night. Tell me how you like your pizza. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the app, or if you're watching the radio on the stream, drop us a stream comment at YouTube, Facebook, or on X, and give us a follow if you're so inclined. I will say, I think Chew Ballet is better, Conrad, than the, what did I call it before? The Chew Ballet. You know, when you're swishing food around, trying not to burn your mouth.
The Chew Ballet?
Chew? I don't know. Is that better?
No.
Food, I call it a food ballet, but I don't. It's like a. I'm going to work on this. I'll come back. I want to create a phrase that goes crazy in everyone in the world. Well, it's like Pete Schwabba says, it's a food ballet. I'm not there yet. I get that. But I'm trying to.
I think you need to workshop it.
I'll workshop it. I'll brainstorm it. I'll noodle it. Another food term. So I talked. This just drives me crazy. All right. I have to. Jennifer Lopez went on Howard Stern, and this is also funny because it's Yahoo Entertainment, and here's what Yahoo wrote. Lopez appeared on the Howard Stern show last week where she made a startling confession that quickly sent shockwaves through Hollywood. It didn't send shockwaves through Hollywood. It just pissed off her old boyfriend. Let's tone it down. Yahoo Entertainment and Entertainment Rags, please. She told Howard Stern, "What I learned is it's not that I'm not lovable. It's that these four guys she's been married to and other guys she's dated are not capable of loving her because they don't have it in them." And her husbands are Mark Anthony, Ben Affleck, Chris Judd, and Ohani Noah. She elaborated and said, "They gave me all of it every time, all the rings, all the things I could ever want, right? Tried to give me the houses, the rings, the marriage, all of it." Well, it really ticked off her first husband, Ohani Noah. They were married for 11 months. And he says she cheated on him more than once in 11 months with people that could advance her career. Now, it's his word against hers, but she sort of started this. Jenny from the block. And he says she's playing the victim. And that she begged him not to leave because it would affect her image in Hollywood. And she was still climbing kind of the ladder to stardom. She did Out of Sight in 1998, but she had, I don't think she had Jenny from the Block yet, which is a terrible song. But he says the problem is you're the one who couldn't keep it in your pants. He's talking about a woman.
Yeah. So. Why'd you guys get divorced? I know you guys dated and you got engaged and everything. And
me and J-Lo?
Yeah. What happened there?
We were engaged. We never tied the knot. It was one of those things. I hated her music. I couldn't be married to her.
she sung and you're like, I need to leave right
I'm
now.
I'm sorry. This is not going to work. It's very manufactured. That Jenny from the Block is such a bad song. Don't be fooled by the rocks that I got. I'm still Jenny from the Block. But her ex-husband wrote, "You have been loved a few times. You've been married four times and countless relationships in between. You've had good relationships. Me, for example," he sounds like a very ticked off ex-lover. So this is on Yahoo Entertainment and is sending shockwaves through Hollywood, folks. So if you want to be shocked, read about this thing. That's really not that important. But just give me another reason not to like her. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. I already don't like her. So I'm going to side with the ex-husband. Ohani Noah.
I think I should take her on a date.
You know what? She might be looking for a regular dude, right?
There's actually a movie that she came out with last year, with Owen Wilson. That's just about that. That she picks someone from the crowd to marry her because he had a sign that said, "Marry me."
Are you kidding me?
It was the worst movie I've ever seen.
My writing partner and I, Greg Liana, wrote a film called Dream Girl about an average meat and potatoes guy, Jack Black, let's say, who helps, let's say, Julia Roberts change a flat tire in the middle of the night. He manages a Steak and Shake. He helps her. She falls in love with him, gets a crush because he's a regular guy. They have a fling. The movie starts with him getting shot down by his fiance. He has a fling with America's biggest movie star, gives her first orgasm, and then she gets in the car and leaves and says, "Don't say anything about this." He says, "Okay." So he takes back his fiance. She apologizes. And then the movie star shows back up and cannot handle the rejection. So,
you know,
sounds like they stole that.
I think you could put me in the lead of that.
You think you could do the Jack Black role? For the 818, Bridget says, "Detroit style, sausage, garlic, and lots of veggies." Well done, Bridget. 818, but going for the Detroit style. Love it. John Murray in the 608 says, "Did I mention best Alfredo sauce ever? It's a delicious heart attack on a big plate." He is talking about, I'm reading these backwards, Italian spectacular at Canova's. I've not had Canova's, John. I had a lot of Madison places to catch up with. I have my favorite restaurants there, and I tend to visit them over and over. I need to branch out. John says, "Famous homemade crust and sauce by Frank Canova, the founder. Best thin crust ever. Worth a trip to the Flatland." He's talking about Illinois counter. Did you know that Illinois is the Flatland?
Yeah, I don't tend to go there.
People think the Continental Divide runs between Wisconsin and Illinois. John says, "Hello, gents. Lived in Chicago and worked downtown for the 90s and had many fine pizzas, but the best pizza in Illinois and maybe the world is served at," there you go, Canova's. I was reading it backwards. "Canova's Pizza in Freeport, 25 miles south of Monroe." You could go over the border 25 miles, Conrad, for a pizza. John says it's good. I believe him.
Maybe we'll road trip.
We'll see. We'll get like a young Christian singles bus tour or something.
There we go.
At the pizza place. Are we caught up? On text? No, we're not.
No.
We've got many more to go.
Yes.
Okay. We're coming back in after the news, folks, with writer, director, and Wisconsin native Phil Johnston is here. His movie is The Twits. It is in theaters. He's written many other big films. I'm excited to talk to him, and hopefully you're excited to listen. So stick around. It's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
News, weather, and sports for Wausau right here on WXCO. Streaming 24/7 online at WXCO.fm.
CBS News Brief. Historians and critics pouncing after President Trump conceded the entire East Wing of the White House will be demolished to build a 90,000-square-foot ballroom.
In order to do it properly, we had to take down the existing structure. The way it was shown, it looked like we were touching the White House. We don't touch the White House.
A U.S. strike's taken out a ninth alleged drug boat. Happened last night, this time in the Pacific Ocean. At least five people killed. Secretary of State Marco Rubio.
There are people traveling on international waters headed towards the United States with hostilities in mind, which includes flooding our country with dangerous, deadly drugs.
The Trump administration slapped new sanctions on Russian oil companies in a bid to encourage an agreement on ending the war in Ukraine. CBS's Margaret Brennan with details from Washington.
Two European officials tell me that Trump now has some realization that Vladimir Putin needs to be pushed in order to come to that negotiating table.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Will Watson return? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. Packers wide receiver Christian Watson has been rehabbing after suffering a torn ACL at the end of last season. Will this be the week Watson returns?
My goal and my plan is to play this week. I'd say I could have played last week, too, to be honest. But you know, obviously just got to make sure, you know, I'm hearing, you know, everybody's opinions on everything and just being as smart as possible about it.
The Packers play the Steelers in Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Football. NBA, the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo scored 37 points, the most in his career on an opening night, in a 133-120 victory over the Washington Wizards, but guard Kevin Porter Jr. undergoing an MRI for a severely sprained left ankle. How is he doing early in the game?
Just his defensive pressure, couple steals, deflections, and then just his half-court defense, him and our whole group, led to us a ton of runouts. It might have been the most advanced passes we've had.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. In Filthy Rich People Who Can't Catch a Break news, Jennifer Lopez cannot seem to live without drama if she's been out of the spotlight for more than a month. The actress-singer appeared on the Howard Stern Show recently and said in all of her four marriages, she was given rings and material possessions and houses, but that none of her four husbands truly loved her because they weren't capable. That did not sit well with her first husband, Ohani Noah, who accused her of not only rewriting history, but of cheating on him multiple times during their just 11-month marriage. A former model and personal trainer, Noah says despite her cheating, she begged him to stay to avoid bad publicity in her career, but she still kept lying and cheating. That doesn't sound like our Jen Jen. Noah claims he moved out of the state for her, supported her financially and emotionally until he was no longer needed. I mean, in J-Lo's defense, she did become famous very quickly. How was she supposed to know she'd only need him for 11 months? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not just headlines, insight. Not just noise, conversation. WXCO is your home for real news and great conversation in Wausau.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with highs in the mid to upper 40s here this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy and frosty. We are going to drop into the mid to upper 20s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs in the low to mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Matt Nair on air.
Attorney General Pam Bondi said that they had arrested the girlfriend of the head of Antifa. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I am the head of Antifa.
You are? Yeah.
Yes, and I think my wife turned in my girlfriend. So,
oh, you're in trouble now, Troy.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review, joining us. Going to talk to the Milwaukee Public Museum about special things for Halloween and all things sports with Paul Noonan.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, this is John Legend, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Gonna be some sweet
Welcome back. I am Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me. It is a Wednesday night, and we are barreling through this evening. Tomorrow night, Jason Mansmith from the Thrasher Theater makes the popcorn pick of the week at 6:35, and from Chicken or the Egg Photography, Chris Rogowski will be here in studio, too. So that'll be fun. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite kind of pizza? You still have time to get in on that fun as well. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. He is an incredibly talented and successful filmmaker of such films like Wreck-It Ralph and Zootopia and Cedar Rapids. And his new film, The Twits, is currently playing in theaters nationwide. Mr. Phil Johnston joins me now over the phone. Hi, Phil.
Hey, Pete. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. Nice to meet you. And a shout out to Daniel Wheeler, Danny Wheels, as I call him, for the introduction.
Dan the man.
Yeah.
Dan the man.
Did you guys go to high school?
We went to, I think we met in sixth grade.
Oh, wow.
We came to Coolidge Elementary and from Lakeview. So, you know, he came in a bit of an outsider. I welcomed him with a warm and tender embrace. And we've been friends ever since. Dan's like a capital A artist. He's a brilliant artist and a good dude.
He's outstanding and a very good dude. And Dan, my favorite story about Dan says, in order to say my last name, which is Schwabba, properly, you have to wet your lips first. So I found that strange, creepy, okay, and funny all at the same time.
He says that about all names because he is a pervert.
Well, we've established that. That's
yeah,
awesome.
Great. I'm sorry to besmirch you.
It's a hell of a shout out.
Oh, man. Sorry, Dan. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sure he loves it. He's probably creating a sculpture right now based on this conversation. So
I hope so.
It's great to have you here, Phil. And I'm excited to see your movie. And I've seen a few of them already. For those who might not know you or know your work, if they don't have kids that saw your other films or your great comedies, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're from Northeast Wisconsin.
Yeah, I grew up in Neenah and went to Neenah High, graduated back in the 90s, went to the University of Wisconsin, and then I was a TV journalist for like 8 or 9 years through the early 2000s or late 90s into the early 2000s, and then quit at age 29 to go to film school, and I've been making movies kind of since. So yeah, Cedar Rapids was the first one, then Wreck-It Ralph, Zootopia. I think there was a terrible Sacha Baron Cohen movie somewhere in the middle of that, and Wreck-It Ralph sequel, and now The Twits.
All right, so let's start with the Twits. This just looks so fun. I love the description. They're these stinky people. Tell us about The Twits and where this idea came from.
Well, it's based on a Roald Dahl story called The Twits, really inspired by, I wouldn't even call it an adaptation, because the book itself was just this tiny little, like 75-page volume about two hateful human beings whose sole purpose in life is being nasty to each other, and then they die in the end, and that's it. And I'm like, hey, that's a good movie.
spoiler alert.
Movie. Cool. So I use them kind of more as a jumping off point to tell a story about hatred and small-mindedness, empathy in our world today, and built, you know, expanded the world well beyond what the book was, and, you know, created a story in which they become mayor in their town and become very powerful. And it's sort of ultimately about how kids deal with bad people getting a lot of power, and get, you know, how you kind of learn to deal with hateful people while not becoming that yourself is the bigger idea. And there are a lot of fart jokes. So, you know, it's got a little something for everyone.
Conrad, pre-purchase us a couple of tickets.
It's actually on Netflix. You don't even have to go to the theaters.
I prefer the theater.
I do too. It's way better. Yeah.
Especially if there's a lot of farting, it's better to see it with other people. It's
100%. Yeah. It really is.
I'm a purist.
So go to Dan's house. We'll
welcome you. Right, exactly. So we've got Natalie Portman. That's pretty cool. How does that work when you get a big star like that? Do you approach her after it's done? Do you attach her beforehand? What was your process like there as the director?
So this is an animated film, and so as I'm, you know, coming up with the story and imagining the voices that will go along with the designs, she was someone who I think I always had in mind for a voice. She plays this monkey-like creature called a Mugglewump. And it turns out she really wanted to do animation while her kids were still of the age where they could appreciate a kid's movie, basically. And sure. So we talked and met and hit it off, and she was game from the beginning. She was in pretty quickly, and she's been such a delight, so easy to work with, a real pro.
I can tell you got along really well with her because you called her Nat. And I don't think you do that.
Oh,
that's kind of an affection.
God, if I did that, that was a mistake. I'm sorry, Ms. Portman. I'll be sued now. We're not close. She doesn't like me. There.
But tell
she's
your
awesome.
Tell your friend she does. No, that's fantastic.
She's
so great. My biggest question for you, Phil, I think, or the one that fascinates me the most, is you wrote these great live action comedies, and you worked with people who are, you know, kind of a who's who in comedy movies and sketch and all that, you know, Ed Helms, Tom Lennon, all these great people. How did you make the jump, or why, to the world of animation? I don't see many people that have the talent to do that. I'm just fascinated by it.
It was super intentional, but actually it wasn't. Cedar Rapids, you know, I was the first one. That's with Ed and John C. Reilly and as you said, some really great comedians. And this Disney meeting came along where I met Rich Moore, who is a Disney director, and he was just trying to figure out what he was going to do with this video game movie. And I was really into arcade games, and I really like animation. And honestly, it was as easy as that. We hit it off. We started talking about what this movie could become, Wreck-It Ralph. And then, you know, I don't know, 10 years later, I've worked on three of them. And I stuck with animation in part because of the stories I wanted to tell in that moment, and in part because I had little kids, and I thought it was cool to be able to make movies that they would be able to see and enjoy. And, you know, now I'm shifting back into some live action stuff now, but I always want to have a sort of a toe in each world.
Boy, it's great. What a great position to be in that you can do that. That's really impressive. And was it difficult, Phil? Like, I mean, I don't even know how I'm a writer too. I don't even know how I would go about that.
I mean, honestly, it's not a million miles away from what a live action script would look like. It looks exactly like a live action script. The biggest difference, I would say, in feature animation, at least, is that you basically make the movie like 8 or 9 times over the course of a few years. Like, so you would write a script, and then the storyboard artist would storyboard it, and we would cut it together in an animatic form. So rough storyboards just edited together. And then we'll watch that and go, hey, I wrote the script. Great. I'm done. Right. Wrong. Now it sucks. And you have to start over. And so then you do it the second time. And the second version is maybe a little better than the first. And then a third time, and on and on. So it's more that it's such an iterative process, almost like writing a ton of TV episodes, but only one of them gets on the air. It's the final movie, if that makes sense.
Wow.
So I think patience and just being willing to kill your darlings more is the bigger lesson from animation than live action for me.
That's really interesting. My guest is Phil Johnston. He is the writer-director of The Twits, which you can see now on Netflix, and it's still in theaters as well. He has also written films such as Wreck-It Ralph, Zootopia, Cedar Rapids. What, did the idea for Cedar Rapids, Phil, come when you were a journalist or when you were working TV news? Like I was telling a guest earlier, Craig Benzine, who's met you. I think he said he met you at Sundance.
Yeah.
I watched that in a hotel similar to the hotel in the movie, and I felt really funky.
That's unfortunate.
It's like a holodome.
Yes, I wrote it as a holodome, and we couldn't find one to shoot in. It was in part from the days as a TV news reporter and going, you know, up to northern Minnesota or whatever to cover a snowstorm and staying in a place like that. And then after film school, I shot a bunch of like industrial videos and public service announcements. And I shot a conference once for something that was not a million miles from the Cedar Rapids vibe. And so I was like, okay, there's a real kind of low stakes Vegas type movie here where, you know, you go to a kind of, not the most exciting place, but to this guy, it's the most exciting place in the world. And that idea just kind of tickled me, I guess.
How did you get those? How did you get like the cast in Cedar Rapids? Were they part of your crew kind of off camera? Were you in those comedy circles or was it pure casting?
I got to know Ed Helms through a comedian in LA named Owen Burke, who was a UCB Upright Citizens Brigade comedian who was a friend of mine. And he introduced me to Ed, and I actually wrote the movie for Ed. So I went and Owen introduced us and I was like, hey, I want to write a movie for you. And he's like, great. And as I was, I think he was still on The Daily Show at the time.
Or The Office maybe? Yeah.
Not even, because The Hangover hadn't come out.
Oh, okay.
And so as we were like prepping this thing, suddenly Ed Helms is in The Hangover, the biggest comedy ever at the time. And suddenly it's like, oh, great, we get to make this movie now, which I don't know. I mean, maybe it may have happened anyway, but that certainly didn't hurt that his star just sort of exploded in the midst of that that run.
Such a great movie, folks. If you get a chance, obviously check out The Twits, but Cedar Rapids is just a gem out there waiting for you to check it out. Phil Danny Wheels says, a question for Phil. Was it hard for the London Orchestra to play the farts?
Oh, well, listen.
They're pros.
They're pros. they did not. There's actually only one fart in the movie, and it's not. We did try it with a chimbasso, which is like a tuba, like it's even lower than a tuba. And the guy nailed it. It was incredible. It was perfect.
You know, this is like taking me back. I made a project one time, and the editor kept telling me, he goes, you got to put a few farts in this thing. And it just wasn't that type of thing. And I almost didn't know how to come back. I'm like, wow, he's on that level. And I'm not even close to that. Like, what do you do?
I mean, I know. Well, usually I'm not a big pro fart guy. But this one, the Netflix said that you can, I think there were three in it at one time. And then they said you can only have one fart. And so I just cutted a 7-second long fart, followed by a 7-second long burp. So it's 14 solid seconds of gas, you know, which is, it's highbrow comedy we're going for there, you know.
And then they jacked up their prices more.
Yes.
Phil, we have to do a really quick break. I've got a couple more questions for you. Can we keep you for a couple more minutes?
Sure.
Outstanding. Phil Johnston is here. We're coming right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and get here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A lawyer who had multiple phone calls with President Donald Trump during the January 6th insurrection has been appointed by the president to investigate debunked allegations that widespread fraud changed the outcome of the 2020 election. He has 130 days as a special government employee to complete his assignment. The Wall Street Journal reported October 17th that Kurt Olson, a product liability attorney turned Trump election lawyer, was appointed to look into President Trump's claims that the 2020 election was stolen. According to the January 6th Select Committee report, it was Olson who drafted a memo on January 2nd entitled "The Role of the Vice President in Receiving Votes from the Electoral College," and he spoke with Trump three times on January 6th. The Detroit News reports that Olson has recently been involved in defending another Trump election lawyer, Stephanie Lambert, from accusations she and others tampered with Michigan electronic vote tabulators. He defended U.S. Senate and Arizona gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake in her baseless challenges to the 2022 election. A judge sanctioned Olson for, quote, "false, misleading, and unsupported factual assertions," though his fines were later dropped. Two good government groups later filed ethics complaints in Maryland and Washington, D.C. for an alleged, quote, "pattern of unethical conduct." We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local civic media radio station.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. You've got the Civic Media Radio Network. We have a couple more minutes left with our guest, Phil Johnston, who is the writer-director behind the film The Twits, which you can check out on Netflix or go and have a great experience in a theater. Either way, but check it out. He is a very talented writer-director. And also check out his film Cedar Rapids. And he's got a whole list of films you can check out, folks. Wreck-It Ralph, Zootopia. Phil, thanks again for being here. It's great to have you. When you come back to Northeast Wisconsin, I don't know how often you get back, but do you have your favorite places you like to go to? Where do you like to go?
I was just seeing that it's Tavern Pizza Day or something. Yeah. Cranky Pat's in Nina is an excellent pizza joint. There are a couple of bars in Nina that, I've revisited over the years. There's one called Gord's Pub. I think that's still open. I don't know. I mostly just hang out at my parents' house. They're both 90 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, still going strong, but not doing a lot of dancing anymore. So we kind of stay at their house mostly.
Do your kids like coming to Wisconsin?
They love it. They absolutely love it. Yeah. They grew up mostly in Los Angeles. We moved to Vancouver, Canada a couple of years ago.
Oh, wow.
So them to Wisconsin's very exotic for them.
That's great. You, of all the people you've worked with, like, and you've worked with a lot, I'm just going from the live action comedies. You get Joel McHale, and I know you wrote these, maybe you weren't as involved in the actual production, but Robin Williams, Jeffrey Tambor, Ed Helms, John C. Reilly, Stephen Root. I mean, who are some of your favorites, either from their performance or just interacting with them?
I mean, Ed is one of my closer friends, certainly in LA, and he's just a great human.
Yeah.
And John C. Reilly, I've now done three movies with, Cedar Rapids and then both of the Wreck-It Ralph movies. And yeah, I don't know if you can see, there are a bunch of clown paintings on my wall back there, which his wife, he had a huge collection of clown paintings, as did I, and his wife wasn't thrilled to have so many. So we merged collections, and I now have, I don't know, about 50 of his and about 50 of my own. So he's a good friend. Yeah, Jason Manzoukas is a good friend. Like, there, a bunch of those just comedy kind of legends have, I feel very, very lucky to know people that are much funnier and smarter than I am, and that they deal with me.
Well, you've given them some great material, so I think that's really cool. And you're right, those are all the main, I mean, John C. Reilly, talk about his body of work. He was at DePaul when I was there.
I didn't
know him, but seemed like a good guy. Wow. And Ed Helms, I don't know him either, but he's just a guy I wish was my neighbor. He seems like such a salt of the earth, but hilarious guy. Such a huge fan. Phil, thank you so much for your time tonight. I know you're busy getting the movie out there and stuff. Really appreciate you taking the time. It's been great chatting.
Yeah, thanks, Pete. Really enjoyed it.
You're very, very welcome. And keep us posted. Good luck with all the new projects. Break a leg.
All right, cool.
Talk soon. That's Phil Johnson, folks. Check out the Twits and go to IMDb and just look at his catalog of work. They're all movies that should be seen. He does great work. And that was Cranky Pats. That's a great name.
I feel like I should know that place, but I don't.
You should, Con. Come on.
Sorry.
So let's finish up our text. Our question was, what is your favorite kind of pizza? Anna from Madison says, hi, Pete and Conrad. I like the margarita pizza at Sugar River Pizza in Sun Prairie. Oh, I like that name too. Sugar River Pizza. Anna says, I like the thin crust with tomatoes, mozzarella cheese, basil, and olive oil. Wow. Well done, Anna. Thank you. Conrad's mom says, my favorite pizza is pepperoni, mushroom, and black olive on thin crust with extra cheese.
I still can't do the black olive.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that either on pizza. But your mom has
done some research here.
That's very specific. I like that answer. Chris from Sun Prairie says, pepperoni, sausage, mushroom, and green olive is the perfect pizza for me, marinara sauce, of course. Of course, Chris. Thank you very much. Chris is in the 773, Conrad.
Okay.
Even though Chris lives in Sun Prairie. That can happen.
Yes. Yes, it can.
Adam from Oregon says, famous Yeti's Pizza in Stoughton has a 3-inch thick Yeti spaghetti pizza complete with noodles and meatball.
Oh.
Man, that seems like a lot.
You know, I would definitely try it. I don't think I'd go back for seconds, though.
Yeah, like maybe 3-inch crust of just bread. That's going to fill you up. That's why I can't do the stuffed pizza anymore. Gary from Madison says, my favorite pizza is the Italian carne pizza at we read this one, at Portabella in Madison. I have to try that place. I walk by there all the time for years, and I've never tried it. Conrad's dad says, back in the day, the best bar time pizza was Fond du Lac's Joe Fox Hut Deluxe Pizza.
It's a great place for some pizza.
Another great name. Currently, I love a fresh, thin crust, very cheesy deluxe pizza with the right crunch. You and your folks order different pizzas. We still made it work, though.
Yeah, we did.
Lori from Hayward says, hey, Pete and Conrad, your question about pizza makes my mouth water for a sausage and pepperoni with green olives and mushrooms in a calzone. Interesting, Lori. Taking it up a notch. There's a small pizza place in Slayton, Minnesota that has the best calzone. You could easily feed two people with just one calzone. Very well done. Thank you, Lori. And then we've got a Steady Eddie text here. Steady Eddie says, Pete and Conrad, my favorite pizza pie, cheese, sausage, onions, mushrooms on a thin, slightly crispy crust served with a good cold brew or warm, cheap Merlot.
I can't believe I forgot about onions. I love onions on my pizza, actually.
Yeah, that's a big forget. That's
so good. And it's the chopped ones. Not the long pieces, you know, chopped onions. Yes.
No, I'm with you there. I like that too. But Eddie, why a cheap Merlot? Steady Eddie. Treat yourself, buddy. I'll buy you a Merlot. He says, no pizza, no life. Well done, Steady Eddie. Did we get everybody?
I think so.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the texts. Always fun. Love reading your texts on the air. Thank you to Phil Johnston and Craig Benzine. Check out No Packers, No Life and the Twits. And we are coming back tomorrow night to do this all over again. And I hope you'll be here. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is making assurances after revealing the entire east wing of the White House will be demolished to build a new ballroom.
It's being paid for 100% by me and some friends of mine, donors to it. The government's paying absolutely nothing.
New U.S. strikes on alleged drug boats widen an operation that began in the Caribbean. CBS's Charlie Daggett.
It's the first known military operation in the Pacific. The boat taken out off the coast of Colombia, which produces 90% of the cocaine that eventually is sold in the United States.
History just made at the Vatican. King Charles has just prayed with the Pope in the Sistine Chapel. The BBC's Mark Lowen reports from Vatican City.
It's almost 500 years since a British monarch will pray publicly alongside a Catholic Pope.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.